Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at the doctrine of the Trinity, and actually this will be our seventh study, which is a continuation from last week's broadcast on the important subject of the Trinity. Today I'd like to focus on the different names that are used for God, which can be used to prove the doctrine of the Trinity. First of all, one of the names for God in the Old Testament is the word Elohim. And actually, that is a plural term. El is the Hebrew word for God, and when you add the letters I-M to a Hebrew word, it actually makes it plural. So even within the basic name for God, it shows that plurality. And we will see that all the names of God are applied to the Father, as well as to the Son, as well as to the Holy Spirit. The Father is referenced in many places as to Jehovah, as to Elohim, to Adonai, or to El as God. And that's pretty clear in the scripture that the Father is God. But also the Son is referred to with the term El in Isaiah 9 verse 6, which is also the name for God, where he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." And that's the Hebrew term El there in Isaiah 9 6 for God. Also, the term Yahweh is applied to Jesus, the Son, in the Old Testament. In Psalm 68, verse 18, it says, "You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received gifts from among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there." And that term Lord God is the term Jehovah. Also in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, I believe it's applied there to the Lord, as well as in Isaiah 45, verse 21. And in Psalm 68, verse 18, this passage is directly applied to Jesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. But yet here in the Old Testament, it's applied to the Lord God or to Jehovah. So the name Jehovah is also applied to the Son in the Old Testament. This is also seen in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, as well as Isaiah 45, verse 21, which reads, "Tell and bring forth your case. Let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from the ancient? Have I not the Lord, and there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior? There is none besides me." So we know that Jesus is the Savior, the Son is the Savior. He is referred to as Jehovah. Now, in relationship to the Spirit, he is also called the Spirit of Jehovah, which is in Isaiah 11, verse 2, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord," or "the Spirit of Jehovah, is upon me." This is also seen in Judges 15 verse 14, and then in Exodus chapter 31 verse 3, it mentions the Spirit of God and it uses the term Elohim. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God," and the word God there is Elohim, "in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." So we see that the names of God are all applied to the Father as well as to the Son as well as to the Holy Spirit, showing that all three persons are God. And also, there's another interesting character in the Old Testament who's referred to as the angel of the Lord or the angel of Yahweh. And we get a clear picture of him in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, as well as in the book of Genesis. But in Joshua, chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, it reads this way, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with the sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? So he worshipped him and called him his Lord. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And Joshua did so," just like when Moses was in the very presence of the Lord. And then reading on in Joshua 6, 1 through 2, it says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua," and that's the word Jehovah there, "See, I have given you Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." So here we have this angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh, is referred to as Jehovah here in this portion of Scripture. And we know that no man has ever seen God at any time, according to John chapter 1 and verse 18. So this must be a theophany, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, coming and revealing himself to Joshua at this point. And this is also found all the way through the book of Genesis in interesting places where the angel of the Lord shows up and then he's referred to as Jehovah. One other place to look at in the New Testament before we look at these passages in Genesis, which makes a reference to the angel of the Lord, is found in Acts chapter 7, verses 30 through 34. And what it says is that the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And it reads this way, starting at verse 30. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. As he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now I come and I will send you to Egypt. That's Stephen's account of what Moses experienced at the burning bush. And in the book of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, it reads this way, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then the voice that speaks is actually Jehovah that speaks out to Moses. So we see that the angel of the Lord here is given that divine title of Jehovah. So actually, as you read Exodus chapter 3, we see in verse 2, he's referred to as the angel of the Lord. Yet in verse 4, the term Elohim is applied to him. And then in verse 7 of chapter 3, the term Jehovah is applied to the angel of the Lord, thus showing that this truly is a divine personage. And almost all conservative scholars believe this to be Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. Also, in the book of Genesis, we'll look at three different references, and there's many others, actually, that speak of the angel of the Lord showing up, and then the people say that they have encountered God, or refer to the angel of the Lord as God. And in Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 through 13, it's a description of where Hagar is cast out, and then the angel of the Lord appears to her. And starting at verse 11, it says, and the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you're with child, and you shall bear a son, you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. Then verse 13, she interprets it this way. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees, for she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? So here it refers in verse 13, the word God. So here she encounters the angel of the Lord, but in verse 13, she calls the angel of the Lord God. Then in Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 and 16, that familiar story of Abraham offering up his son Isaac, and the angel of the Lord appears to him in verses 15 and 16, and it reads this way. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, and that is the term Jehovah. So the angel of the Lord calls out to him, says, I swear by myself, says Jehovah, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. So the angel of the Lord here is directly referred to as Jehovah. The same thing happens in the life of Jacob in chapter 32, verses 22 to 32, where he wrestles with the angel of the Lord. Yet in verses 27 through 30, it reads this way. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you asked about my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And the word God here is the term Elohim. So the angel of the Lord is referred to as Elohim, as well as Jehovah, as well as in Genesis chapter 19, he's referred to as Adonai, the other Hebrew term for God. We could also look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, where it says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight. So he called these three men Lord. And in verse 3, it's the term Adonai. Yet in verse 13, it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? That's the term Jehovah. Then also in verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? That's the term Jehovah once again. So we see when the angel of the Lord shows up, he's either referred to as Adonai, Elohim, or Jehovah, the very names for God. which is evident that this angel of the Lord is a distinct person from the Father, thus supporting the doctrine of the Trinity in the Old Testament. If you want further evidence of the doctrine of the Trinity in the Old Testament, you can get our tape from last week where we looked at the places where plurality is mentioned, for example, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, where God says, "Who will go for us?" Or in the creation account where God says, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness." As well as in the Tower of Babel where it speaks in Genesis chapter 11 of, "Let us go down," and God is speaking. So there's several other places in the Old Testament that stress the plurality of God, even in the Old Testament. And you need to be able to use the Old Testament as well as the New Testament to be able to prove the doctrine of the Trinity. Use everything that God has revealed to us on this subject to be able to defend this doctrine, which is attacked even in the church today and has been attacked throughout all of church history. God bless you in your efforts to be able to present the Word of God accurately, to present the nature of God accurately as He's revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.